Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Good evening. Welcome to the June 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. This is VOA's Jason Patinkin in Washington filling in today and tomorrow for Sunny Young. We got a great show lined up for you today, so do not reduce the volume. Let's tee off with golf today. Professional golf's PGA Tour opened its first tournament since closing down due to the COVID-19 pandemic 3 months ago. 16 of the top 20 players in the world, including all of the top 5 golfers, will compete at the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas. The challenge is normally a smaller event each year, but this year the world's top golfers didn't want to miss the chance to get back out on the course. Here's number 2 ranked Justin Thomas.
What I miss the most about golf, I miss the competition, the opportunity to win a golf tournament, seeing different people, seeing my friends. I mean, you have these guys and caddies and wives, girlfriends, kids of different players that you spend, you know, probably over half your year with. So I'm glad to be back out, and I'm glad to see a lot of familiar faces, you know, media and officials. I don't know. I mean, this is what I've wanted to do for my whole life, and it's what I've loved to do forever, and it's nice to be back out playing competitive golf again.
There are a number of new rules to keep the COVID-19 virus at bay during the tournament. All golfers and their caddies have tested negative for the virus, plus there are social distancing regulations in place, and there will be no spectators allowed. The golfers and their caddies are also meant to limit contact with anyone who is not in the tournament, staying inside a so-called bubble to avoid potentially infecting any members of the group. Here's world number 1 ranked golfer Rory McIlroy on these health measures.
Yeah, everything that's been put in place for us has felt very, I keep using this word, but it's felt very robust, it's felt very safe. You know, everyone's, you know, doing the right things, and, you know, the people that are involved with the tournament are wearing masks and wearing gloves, and, you know, there's sanitizer everywhere you look, and, you know, it feels safe. I feel safe, and, you know, I would say, you know, basically everyone else that's here feels the same way.
The tournament is also taking place amid the Black Lives Matter protests in the U.S. and around the world. McIlroy shared his thoughts on race issues in golf, referencing his respect for black golfer Tiger Woods.
My hero growing up was Tiger Woods. And, you know, Tiger doesn't look the same as me, you know, has had a very different upbringing to the one that I have had, but he was my hero growing up, and it didn't matter what color his skin was, you know, what his beliefs were. Tiger was my hero, and he's, you know, he's been a lot of kids' heroes over the years that have grown up playing golf, and, you know, we've been very lucky to have him in our game. And, you know, I think that there should be more people like him in golf.
For more on the return of professional golf, I spoke by phone with golf analyst Mark Rolfing in Maui, Hawaii. Aloha, Mark. First of all, how are you feeling about golf being back?
I think it's great. Glad to see golf taking a lead. Golf really doesn't have an opening day. It's, you know, it's a season that never stops, with a wraparound season now. The first tournament, you know, in a season is in September, and so I don't know, with this break and everybody kind of all disappearing, going their own way for a while, it feels like opening day, and I know there's going to be some jitters. I'm going to be nervous as a fan watching. Things are going to be really different. The caddies are going to have a really hard job. They got to do things completely differently than they have before, and it's going to be interesting to see how quickly they can adapt.
And what are some of those precautions that players and others are taking on the golf course to prevent the spread of COVID-19?
Well, the biggest thing is the PGA Tour wants the players to have as much as possible a no-touch plan, you know, philosophy. And so they're not going to handle the flag stick ever. You know, they're not going to handle bunker rakes ever, you know, even to pick it up and give it to their caddy. And matter of fact, they're going to try to get players to take their own clubs out of the bag. So you're going to see the caddies carrying, you know, piles and piles of sanitizer around with them. And they are going to have to do a lot of maintenance work, like wiping down the flag stick and wiping down bunker rakes and stuff like that that we've never seen before. And I think it's going to take them a while to get used to it.
You mentioned this is an opening day for golf, but what about for other sports that are still waiting to start up again? How do you think they're going to be watching to see how things go this week at Colonial?
I think they're going to be watching pretty closely now. You know, golf has some sort of built-in social distancing advantages that other sports don't have. It's not played in an arena. You know, Colonial is a 150-acre parcel compared to a basketball court, let's say that's 94 feet by 50. So golf has some built-in advantages, but I think, you know, the big thing that the other sports are going to be looking at is what kind of testing protocol is the PGA Tour going to have, and theirs is going to be pretty strict. And the other thing is, how are they going to keep the players in a bubble? They're going to have, you know, a very, very small group of players inside this bubble, even to the point where they're hoping they fly on a charter flight with them from this week to Charles Schwab Challenge to Hilton Head for next week. So other sports are going to be watching this closely, how they transport their players around.
And looking at the golf itself, what are you going to be looking out for in terms of the players and their performance? Who are the golfers to watch this week?
You know, this is going to be an interesting week. Typically, the Charles Schwab Challenge doesn't get that strong a field. In fact, they've never had the top two players in the world play in that tournament at the same time in its history, and now they've got the top five, just an incredibly strong field. So you've got players that typically wouldn't play. Rory McIlroy would not typically play in that tournament, and it's going to be interesting to me to see whether or not the big hitters, the guys like McIlroy and Dustin Johnson, who typically wouldn't play, are going to adapt to Colonial, which is a pretty small ballpark, tends to favor real short, straight, navigator kind of players.
Last of all, this is taking place during the Black Lives Matter protests across the world. The organizers are going to hold a moment of silence at 8:46 each morning in honor of George Floyd, the black man who died in police custody while a police officer knelt on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Golf has a bit of a troubled history when it comes to race. It's often seen as a country club sport, mostly played by white people. How do you think the PGA and the players are responding to the Black Lives Matter movement to make sure that golf is as open and equitable as possible?
It seems to me like it's like the rest of America, and I really hope this is a watershed time, and that we're finally going to listen and finally take some action. And I think from what I'm hearing, what I'm reading, what I'm seeing from the PGA Tour players, they are really embracing this whole Black Lives Matter initiative, and it's something that's so important, and the golfers have such a big voice. I think it's tremendous that they're holding this 8:46 tee time for George Floyd. Golf has got a loud voice, a much louder voice than it used to be. And I think this is a really good time for the golf to stand up and say, you know, we're not just a one-dimensional sport. It's not a country club sport. You know, this is a game that embraces everyone.
That was golf analyst Mark Rolfing speaking to me by phone from Maui, Hawaii. Now let's go to tennis. All-time great Roger Federer will miss whatever remains of the coronavirus-impacted 2020 tennis season because of a setback in his recovery from a February surgery on his right knee. The 20-time major champion posted a statement on Twitter to say he needed an additional procedure and will take his time to return to 100% fitness. More in tennis, some players are criticizing the U.S. Open, which is one of the four most important tennis tournaments each year and is scheduled to take place in August in New York City. Australian Nick Kyrgios said Thursday that plans to hold the U.S. Open are selfish in light of the COVID-19 outbreak and the Black Lives Matter protests. In a Twitter post, he said, quote, "We need to overcome these challenges before tennis returns," end quote. Meanwhile, world men's number one, Novak Djokovic of Serbia, says he's thinking of skipping the U.S. Open entirely. He says the measures put in place by the U.S. Open to control COVID-19 are extreme and not sustainable. Djokovic says he may instead focus on training for the French Open, scheduled for September. For more, VOA's Jim Stevenson filed this report.
Reigning Australian Open men's doubles champion Rajiv Ram is waiting with other leading tennis players for plans to restart the sport.
We don't have any word. I mean, it's a tough thing, you know. I mean, tennis is, you know, along with golf, the most international or one of the most international sports. We have players from all over the world. We have venues all over the world. So, you know, it's not as simple as maybe in America, like having basketball be in one area while the teams can sort of go and quarantine. It's an individual sport. That's the other thing. So we have a lot of challenges, and I don't think it would be wise for our governing bodies to say something that they couldn't deliver on.
He is watching the start of another sport for clues.
I'm very interested, to be honest, to see what happens with golf, because I think it could be a way forward for a lot of sports, including us. But at this point, we don't have anything as far as a definite return that I feel very confident about.
World number one Novak Djokovic has called U.S. Open safety protocol plans as extreme, while Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer have questioned the tournament's plans without fans.
It all sounds good as long as we can be confident in our safety and be confident that all of our fellow players can be safe as well. You know, I don't really think it would be the right thing, and I'd hope that they wouldn't go through with it if somebody, for example, from India couldn't come over because a flight situation, and you know, even if it's one, it still is not fair.
Thanks to VOA's Jim Stevenson for that report. Next up, the head coach of Zambia's national football team, Milutin Micho-Stradojevic, says his players need to be physically fit and mentally strong when they return to competition after the coronavirus pandemic. Coach Micho says a set of 85 comprehensive exercises were prepared and given to the players while at home. He spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye by phone from Lusaka, Zambia.
In order to make our players mentally strong, we have tried to generate positive energy, to try always to send words of encouragement, to show them that there is light on the end of the tunnel. In that regard, we have always trying to make our players mentally strong. In order to make our players mentally fit, we have prepared a set of 85 comprehensive exercises that are designed for the work at home in isolation, and players have gone through the rigorous 8 weeks program, 55 players locally and also players worldwide, those that they have not been enough engaged, they need complementing exercises we have given to them. So following each player at home and outside of the country, we have tried to keep them active, and keeping them active to strengthen them also mentally, and to look together to come out of the tunnel that COVID-19 has caused. Now that football is showing signs of recuperation and being an message of good news for the humanity, that football has started to be played, we also hope that very soon we shall come out of isolation, out of lockdown, and working in isolation, and that our players fighting for the competitive advantage will go back to the training and competition.
How are you preparing for the restarting of the football season?
Having in mind that during COVID-19 lockdown and isolation, we have made in 8 weeks of comprehensive fitness program individually good platform, we are expecting that very soon lockdown and isolation will finish, that government of Zambia with President Edgar Lungu will announce that elite football could return to the training. We have made our players ready for the restart of the training and the restart of the competitive season, because Football Association of Zambia decided decided that all the competitive matches of remainder of the season, around 9 of them, to the complete MTN Premier Division of Zambia and Eden University First Division will be completed on the field of play and not administrative finishing of the season. So we expect players to go back on the field. We expect to go back into the competition. But meanwhile, we have used the time to prepare, because I have with myself my assistants, goalkeeping coach Miroslav Stojnic, that has 23 years of goalkeeping coach experience, working in 7 countries and producing several masters of goalkeeping, having many goalkeepers in UEFA Champions League in Europe. We have prepared a comprehensive goalkeeping coaching course that since 1998 has not been in Zambia. Therefore, it will be beneficiary for the goalkeeping coaches in respective teams of Premier Division and First Division in Zambia, and will be a foundation, an investment that goalkeeping department, that is very important department in Zambian football that has been neglected, that we give a foundation to goalkeeping coaches, that our goalkeepers are dealt with and special attention to detail in order to lift their goalkeeping qualities, to make them having all 4 measurement aspects ready.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mijo-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
That was Zambia's men's national football team coach Milutin Mijo-Sredovic, speaking by phone from Lusaka with journalist Iron Mike Mbonye. The sports world continues to react to the Black Lives Matter protests. In European football, Eintracht Frankfurt wore the words Black Lives Matter on their match shirts in the German Cup semifinal Wednesday against Bayern Munich. Bayern was victorious 2-1 over Frankfurt to reach the German Cup finals. In the U.S., Major League Soccer reversed a decision which required players to stand during the national anthem before games. Players in some sports in the U.S. have been kneeling during the national anthem to protest police brutality. And in response to the Black Lives Matter protests, NASCAR, which is America's most popular car racing league, announced Wednesday a ban on the display of the Confederate flag from all NASCAR events and properties. The Confederate flag was the flag of the Southern rebels during America's Civil War about 160 years ago. The South rebelled against the North in order to maintain slavery of black people. Although the North defeated the South and abolished slavery, the Confederate flag, which symbolizes racism, is popular among some Southerners. NASCAR's new decision to ban the controversial flag is significant because many NASCAR fans are from America's South, and some of them fly the flag at NASCAR races. And 22-year-old tennis superstar Naomi Osaka, the world's highest-paid sportswoman, is speaking out in favor of the Black Lives Matter movement. The 2-time Grand Slam champion has faced a backlash on social media after throwing her support behind the anti-racism protests, but she says she will not back down. In a statement to Reuters, she said, quote, "I'm vocal because I believe in the movement and want to try to use my platform to facilitate change. Being silent is never the answer. Everyone should have a voice in the matter and use it," end quote. Osaka, whose mother is Japanese and father is Haitian, said she had marched in Minneapolis and attended other Black Lives Matter protests in Los Angeles, where she lives. Last of all, the International Olympic Committee is set to begin talks on easing its ban on protests ahead of next year's games in Tokyo. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten joins us with details. Hey there, Gwen.
Hey there, Jason. As waves of protests continue around the globe following the death of George Floyd in the United States, several major sports leagues have allowed athletes to join the demonstrations over racial injustice. That move has prompted a call for the IOC to change its rules that restrict gestures of protest during the Olympic Games. In response, President Thomas Bach held a Wednesday news conference from Olympic headquarters in Switzerland and said the IOC's Athletes Commission would begin talks to explore ways Olympians can exercise their freedom of expression at the Games while holding true to core Olympic values.
You know, we have there fully supported the initiative of the IOC Athletes Commission to have a dialogue with their counterparts, athletes from around the world, to explore different ways on how Olympic athletes can express their support for the principles enshrined in the Olympic Charter in a dignified way.
Bach is referring to a set of guidelines known as Rule 50 that bans any form of political protest in an attempt to enforce neutrality. A political gesture, such as taking a knee or wearing an armband, is strictly prohibited. And athletes who copy the iconic raised fist salute made in 1968 by American sprinters Tommy Smith and John Carlos would face disciplinary action and could be sent home. The IOC reiterated its support of Rule 50 earlier this year. And on Wednesday, Thomas Bach gave no indication that the guidelines would be changed. But he acknowledged that standing up against discrimination is part of Olympic DNA.
There are these kind of demonstrations. This is a demonstration in support of the Olympic principles of non-discrimination. This is our DNA. This is one of the raison d'être of the Olympic Games. So everybody who is participating in the Olympic movement and in the Olympic Games in particular is standing for these values.
After reading an IOC executive board resolution condemning racism, Bach said he would not interfere with discussions between the Athletes Commission and representatives on the way forward.
I will not preempt in any way that these consultations the Athletes Commission now will have with many athletes representatives around the world. I think it would not be fair if now I make a statement and they're giving directions or even instructions in this respect. The framework has been set, and now let the athlete commission and let the athletes discuss among themselves and then coming up with the relevant proposals.
The commission will talk with athletes around the world to explore how Olympians can make stronger protests at future games while keeping the rules of the charter in mind. Meanwhile, the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee is creating an athlete group that will look into loosening restrictions on protests at the games. Earlier on Wednesday, the CEO of the Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee, Toshiro Muto, said the upcoming Olympics will be simplified. He said in an effort to reduce costs, next year's games will be done without grand splendor. The cost of organizing the rescheduled games has reached $650 million. More than 200 ideas on how to reduce that number are still on the table, with no word on when the changes will be implemented. The games are set to begin on July 23, 2021. A further delay beyond that date has been ruled out. And that is all from me, Jason. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen. Gwen Uten, and that wraps up this June 11th edition of the show. I'm VOA's Jason Patinkin, filling in for Sonny Young in Washington. Thank you for tuning in. Stay safe, stay healthy, and have a great evening. That's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to sikus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 0905 and 2005 UTC, right after the international news.